It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court, Simon Court has recently come under fire in the last few days for comments he made to a submitter in a select committee meeting about menstrual products. During a hearing on benefit sanctions, a female submitter was outlining concerns about period poverty and the impacts menstrual products can have on a low-income family budget. In response to these concerns, Court asked if she was aware of, or if people around her were aware of, a menstrual cup, outlining its cost and where to buy it. He was heavily criticised by Te Pāti Māori and later Labour for mansplaining, calling his comments deeply offensive as he doubled down. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I spoke to Simon Court about these comments. We also spoke about the Destiny Church protest at the Auckland Pride over the weekend, as well as the Director General of Health's resignation, the third key health role in resignation in recent weeks. But I started off by asking him about the backlash he's received on his comments about period products. You've come under fire over the past few days in the media for comments you made about menstrual products. In a select committee meeting, you asked a female submitter inquiring about period poverty if she was aware of a menstrual cup. And since then, you've been accused of mansplaining. Do you acknowledge these accusations?
Look, the submitter raised period products as an example that people are facing around the cost of living and their ability to afford necessities. And my question was fundamentally about the ability of people facing those cost pressures, including those facing benefit sanctions for breaching the responsibilities to the taxpayer to seek work. And that I think, is a totally legitimate question to ask, a line of questioning. And in doing so, I simply just raised an example relevant to the example she'd given, but unfortunately it was received in an unintended way by a Te Pāti Māori member on the committee.
But the question was specifically about period products, not just benefits and benefit sanctions. Do you acknowledge the claims of mansplaining?
Absolutely not. I think it's good. I think a lot of people would reflect that it's probably good that a man understands some things about women's issues. The submitter's almost exclusive focus was on period products, and so that was the topic that we were discussing. And you know, my role on a select committee is to make sure that I ask questions that help get to the information that we need, so the government can make better laws. And in this case, I felt I was being constructive and polite. And I'm sure if your listeners were to go back and watch the video, they'll be able to get much better context about that conversation.
Do you believe that it's appropriate for any man who hasn't experienced a period to tell a woman how to deal with their own period? You say you understand the issue, but it's almost impossible.
No, I don't think it's appropriate, and that's certainly not what I was doing. And I think if your listeners were to go back and watch the video, it would be very clear that I was asking a question that was polite and respectful and intended to get some answers that would help the select committee in our deliberations.
Well, I have watched the video myself, of course, and in the video I can quote that you ask if the woman submitting has heard of a product called a menstrual cup and if she was to invest in that, that could help with budgeting on the benefit for period products, correct?
Well, if you watch the video, what I asked is she aware of this product and does she think that people who are facing or suffering from anxiety or concerned about period poverty would be interested in that product? And I gave an example of the cost and where it might be found. But look, your listeners are free to go and watch the video and draw their own conclusions. What I would say is that asking questions on a select committee is the role of a member of parliament. Stuff's already reported what I've said. A whole lot of people have unfortunately taken it the wrong way. I think the video is enough context if your listeners want to go and see it for themselves.
Labour's Penny Hinari said David Seymour should approach you about the comments. Has he done this?
Look, the comments I made at the time are there for people to see on the video, and anyone who wants to can go and have a look. Of course, I've received lots of correspondence about my comments, mostly from people who've taken a while to be out of context. So, I don't think I'm going to be able to explain to people like Pini Henare and Te Pāti Māori MP, why I didn't intend defence. If they've taken it, that's up to them.
I'm just wondering if David Seymour's approached you about the comments, though.
We talk about all kinds of things. Our weekends are busy times when we talk about policy and other matters. It's pretty common for David to give me a ring on the weekend about things and vice versa.
So if you spoke this weekend, did you speak about these specific comments?
David and I have spoken about those comments, and we've agreed that there's not much more I can contribute to the debate.
Did he deem them inappropriate?
David offered me his view, and that's where it sits.
Can you share what his view was?
Well, what I have shared is my perspective on the feedback that I've had, and I'll leave David. It's up to David to share his feedback if he wants to.
All right, let's move on. You were at Auckland Pride over the weekend. What does the ACT Party make of the Destiny Church protest, both at the parade and at the library in Te Atatū?
Really disappointing. The whole purpose of Pride Parade is to celebrate people's diversity, to demonstrate that New Zealand is an inclusive place where we respect all people, no matter how they choose to live their lives. And that's why the ACT Party is always there, because we want to celebrate people's individual dignity. It's not helpful. In fact, many people expressed that they did feel concern and fear about the presence of people trying to stop the parade. And as far as the event at my local Te Atatū Community Centre goes, I mean, that's a pretty regular event. If mums and dads want to take their kids to see a show or to see a performance or some story time reading, that's entirely up to them. And we shouldn't have groups of people, no matter what their agenda is, because, it has become more common recently that people want to stop others sharing information, stop people talking, want to protest events. And we've had John Minto and his Palestinian pals, trying to stop ACT events. We don't agree with the thugs veto, and we certainly wouldn't agree with people trying to stop legitimate and lawful activities like that at the Te Atatū Community Centre where I live.
And on to our next topic, I just want to talk a little bit about the Director General of Health resigning. Diana Safati is stepping down, and it comes days after the sudden resignation of the Health New Zealand Chief Executive and the announcement of the Director of Public Health also stepping down. Do you think these three key resignations speak to the crisis that the health sector is experiencing?
Well, I understand that Diana had a long and distinguished career in the health sector, and she's led health through a really challenging time, so no doubt she'll be missed, and I wish her all the best. But people do make the best decisions for their own circumstances for a range of reasons, and I'm actually not well placed to speculate on any factors around her resignation. That's ultimately her business. But what I will say is that we have heard criticism from the Labor Party. They need to look in the mirror. They tore apart the entire health infrastructure by focusing on restructuring the health system during a pandemic. They got rid of five key health targets that focused on patients and health, and instead turned their entire focus to the health bureaucracy. So, I think it must have been quite a difficult time to be the Director General of Health. I wish her all the best in her new endeavours.
These three resignations have all come after Simeon Brown stepped in as Minister for Health. Do you think there's any connection there?
I can't speculate on that because I have no insight whatsoever. But what I do know is that many people, senior people in the health system, have experienced some very stressful and tough times during COVID, exacerbated by the enormous restructure of the health system that Labor insisted on undertaking while New Zealand was in the midst of a pandemic response. So, I don't have any insights into these individuals' reasons for choosing to resign at this time, but I'm sure they've all been under a lot of pressure over the last few years.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Corr on critiques of mansplaining period products, the Destiny Church Pride protests, and the Director General of Health's resignation.
That was Simon Corr from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.